It is good to be here together with you and to bring you greetings from your daughter church, which is Grace Reformed Presbyterian Church in Dubois. And it is good together to worship the Lord and to give praise and glory to Him. I invite you now to open your Bibles to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. And we will read together the whole psalm. It is a psalm, a song for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass, and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. God bless the reading of his word. God bless our meditation on his word. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer for his light in our hearts to understand his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, which you have given to holy men of God, moved by the Holy Spirit, and who have received your word by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to give us light in our minds, that we may understand your word, to open our eyes, that we may see wonderful things in your law, to open our hearts, that we may walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We have come together today on the Sabbath, as we just read. This psalm is intended for the Sabbath. And we have come together today to do that which is good, to do that which is approved and pleasing to God, approved by God and pleasing to Him. And today we come together to give thanks to the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. That's what we've just been doing here. Sing praise and thank the Lord. And this is the reason why we have come together. It is to come before the Lord in true worship. Worship which is in spirit and in truth, which is by the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit to God through Jesus Christ. If we look at the world around us, it's another story. What we see there is not good in many ways. And the newscasters, whether it's radio, television, newspapers, want us to not to miss that there is so many people who are being killed by serial killers, that there is so many people who steal and or who kidnap or whatever. And this is sad. This is weighing us down. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 130, says, "My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law." And in a sense, the source of sadness is man's disobedience against God. The very fact that we have death in our midst is because man was disobedient to God, and today still is disobedient. But we have not come together today to bemoan that, although this should indeed fill our eyes with streams of tears that the world is doing what is displeasing to God and which is hurting each other. But we come together today to rejoice in what God is doing for us and has called us to do and to be. So, what do we consider good today? Well, there is also joy, or at least what may seem to be joy in the world. If you go to a sports stadium, miles around you will hear when the team scores. You know, you cannot ignore it. It's a loud shouting. But that all dies out when the game is over. Or you can have, if you watch some news, some television show where people can win money, you know, these games. You can see these people when they win some money jump up and down and cheer, and all that dies out when the money is spent, when it's gone. So these are fleeting joys, fleeting moments of joy. But where is the true, permanent, enduring joy? Well, we will find it in here, and that's why we have come together. It is to read God's Word, to meditate on it, to make it ours by faith, and to live by it. And this is what we want to think about. In Psalm 4, David says, "There are many who say, 'Who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound.'" We have just gone through the season, the holiday of Thanksgiving, and the fall Thanksgiving, the Feast of Harvest, was a big thing, because when fall has come and all the harvests are in the barn, safely tucked away, then you rejoice, because now you can face winter and the rigors of the cold weather, but you have food available, it is there. And this is a universal rejoicing. You can find Thanksgiving holidays all over the world. But what David is saying is, for him, he has a joy which is greater than all the joy which the world can have. And this is what comes from the Lord. It is, of course, everything we have comes from the Lord, but this is the joy which comes as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit, and that joy is the foundation of our ministry and of our life in the Lord. Yes, it is true. Say, if we get a salary raise, that may be an item of joy. I remember once I received a kind of a surprise when I was working at Westinghouse Electric. I received a salary raise, and I was happy, happy. And by the time I reached home, between leaving my office and going home, I had spent that money 10 times over. You know, I mean, yeah, sure. And then I had to realize, hey, be realistic. And by the way, all this is not gone for years. So that joy was temporary. Now, we want to look at how do we come to that joy. And this is what the psalm is all about. If you look at the psalm, verses 1 through 4, tell us what is good. What is good? Verses 5 through 9, what is comforting to us? Now, there is an oppression in this world. Those who do wrong, those who don't believe in God, those who don't care for God, those who hate God, they are making billions of dollars. They are powerful. But the comfort is, it's only for a time. And not a long time, as far as that is concerned. And so what may be distressing to us will come to an end. And verses 10 through 15, David says, he speaks about those who are righteous. Now we have to immediately add, by faith in Christ. Okay? No one is righteous on his own before God except Jesus himself. He's the only one who is perfectly righteous and who can say to God, here, I have come to do your will, and who does it. And we can say here, I want to do your will, but we don't. We fall. We fall either to the left or to the right. Martin Luther said that sinful man or natural man is like a man who is riding a horse while he's drunk. When he does not fall to the left, then he falls to the right. He cannot stand, or he cannot stay up there and keep hold of his balance. He's unable to please God. He's unable to stay on his horse. So now, let's come to what is good, because that's our comfort, that's our joy. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. This is very important. Give thanks to the Lord. We quickly forget about giving thanks to the Lord. And the danger with that is then we take things for granted. And we forget that God has given these things that we may give thanks to Him. You know, at Christmas you see little children all anxious to go and open the boxes, gifts which are wrapped. And they find the toys inside and they start playing. And they forget to give thanks to whoever gave them the gift, who wanted to show their love to them and their care for them. And so they have to be reminded, to whom do we give thanks? Oh, leave me alone. No, to whom do we have to give thanks? Oh, yes, Uncle Joey or Aunt Mabel or whoever. Give thanks, because that shows that the gift was only a means or a tool to convey love and care and concern. And that is what God wants with us. He gives us wonderful things, abundant things. But He wants us to realize that He is the one who gives it to us, and that we, by saying thank you to the Lord, we say, I owe it to you. You have given it to me. And we thank Him for that. A few years ago in Du Bois, one of the big churches there, did a show, a television show, where they had reporters from the television team go into the streets and ask the people, it was at the time of Thanksgiving, what do you thank the Lord for? And people answered I thank the Lord for my health. Yeah, sure, that's a great gift. And I thank the Lord for my house, for my car. Hey, some even said, I thank the Lord for my spouse. Yeah, that's a great gift. But interestingly enough, that day, nobody thought of saying, I thank God for His gift to us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what God has done for us. That's how He showed His love for us, by a gift. And that gift is for us to give Him thanks. It is good to praise the Lord. Yes, we like to praise ourselves, we like to praise each other. It is good to praise the Lord. It is good to praise the Lord for what He has done, and to declare your steadfast love in the morning, that's part of the worship of the day, and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, and to the melody of the lyre. And by the way, this giving thanks is, it requires effort on our part. It requires work on our part. You know, today we don't use the 10-stringed instrument. I don't know how many strings a piano has, but, you know, it's close to 100. And it takes work to practice until you have that song pat down so that we may sing it together. Well, it is also for us to give thanks to the Lord by remembering and going over the blessings He has given to us, and then turning to Him and say, thank you, Lord. We praise you. It is good to sing praises to God for His work. For You, O Lord, have made me glad by Your work. At the works of Your hands, I sing for joy. You know, we are not the only one, we're not the first ones to sing for joy at the work of God's hands. When I look to the heaven, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the star which You have set in place, that's in Psalm 8, what is man that You are mindful of him, and the son of man that You care for him? God has created us, and that is a wonderful work. And then, Job says that about the Lord. God says that to Job. On what were its bases sunk, and who laid its corner, the cornerstone of the world? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, this is what God has done, and this is what the response of the morning stars were, long before we were even in existence. They sang for joy. They praised God. They said to Him, "How great You are! How great are Your works!" And that is the beginning of the world. And then comes man. God creates man on the sixth day, and He gives him, He creates him in the image of God, and gives him the privilege to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, and to subdue it. And then He gives us the privilege to look and to praise Him. You know, tonight there is a full moon. Look at it. Look at it. And come to realize that moon is created by God. Now, the temptation for the world has been to worship the moon. I'm not talking about worshiping the moon, God forbid, but to worship the maker of the moon and the stars, and to say that to Him. When I look at the heavens, the moon and the stars which You have set in place, what is man that You are mindful of him? Where do we find the expression of the glory of God? From the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. Of course, the Word of God comes only from the Scripture. And I have to say here that I do not agree with people who go and say that you can find the Word of God out there in nature. But you can see the glory of God. And you can be awed by the glory of God, and to praise Him, and to sing for joy. For You, Lord, have made me glad by Your work. At the works of Your hands, I sing for joy. And that is how God brings on us and impresses on us His glory, His power, His majesty. And through His Word, He gives us understanding into the display, into the wonderful spectacle of the stars, of the moon and the stars, and of the world. And what a wonderful work we are. When you look at how our body is made, what a wonderful work this creation is, where God has put everything in place. And where man wants to deny that it is God who has made it, man wants to tell us that, it just happened by chance. No way. It happened because God spoke. And because God spoke it into existence. And it is good to sing to that, because God is good. And yes, it is not easy when we see all the evil which is in the world to realize that God is good always. God is good overall, at all times, and over all situations. Now we human beings are turning the wrong way, left and right. Yes. And yes, we do bring about disaster, destruction, warfare, bloodshed. All that comes from the wicked heart of man. But God is good always. That's how the psalm closes. To declare that the Lord is upright, is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. He knows perfectly what is good, and He shows it to us, and He makes us glad, He makes us rejoice for that. And then also, there is, between these two parts, there is the relief that those who do wrong, those who hate the Lord, those who want to control the world for their own purpose, for their own glory, those who are enemies of God, they will come to an end and they will be destroyed. Now, we should not rejoice at that because, we'll come back to this in a while, but we should not rejoice in that, but we are relieved. We are relieved at that. Yes, the evil which is in the world will come to an end. The glory of God will proceed forever. And the kingdom of Christ will grow forever. There is nothing which can overcome it or bring it to an end. Okay, now the first thing is to delight in giving thanks to God. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You have restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. This is where we come before the Lord. Sing praises. Give thanks. Acknowledge that everything you have is a gift from the Lord. That now you may say, well, I worked for it. I bought it. I had to earn the money to buy it. Well, ultimately, it comes from the God, from the Lord. He is the one who gives us all these things. And the fact that we receive them or that we work for them does not mean that now we can glorify ourselves or think highly of ourselves. It is another reason to say, thank you, Lord, for the health which allowed me to earn this. Thank you, Lord, for the strength you have given me to accomplish the work you have given me to do. This is what you have given to me. In Psalm 37, David says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is the deepest longing. It is to have peace with God. And he will give us the desire of our hearts. You know, when I pray that verse, I quickly say, Lord, purify the desires of my hearts. Because in my heart, I have also desires which are not pure, which are not good, which are not pleasing to God, which are really sin. And these desires, I don't want them to be fulfilled. You know, someone said that one of the dreadful ways God will judge people at the end of the world is to say, have your own way. You want it that way, have your own way. God forbid. God, have your own way. Let the Lord have his own way and not us. But if we delight ourselves in the Lord, and our hearts are purified by God's power, by God's Spirit, and by the blood of Jesus Christ, then we can say, Lord, give the desire, grant the desires of my heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul said that from a jail in Rome. And he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Because that joy is good. Many other joys, all the other joys will come to an end. They will wither away. They will fall down. But the joy of the Lord will stay. It is good. It is the joy which lasts forever. In the book of Nehemiah, we read the story when Israel came back from the great captivity in Babylon. They came back to Jerusalem and they started rebuilding the temple. And they laid down the foundations and they looked at it and they rejoiced when they had done the work. And some of the people who were there remember the old temple 70 years earlier. They must have been kids when they were taken into captivity. But when they came back, they saw the new temple and they cried. They said, that's not as good as the old one. But the priest said, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's exactly what the priests were telling to Jerusalem, to the people in Jerusalem. They said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that takes us now one step further. Why do we rejoice and give thanks to the Lord? Because that prepares us for the next step. God has not saved us from sin and death so that we may just sit there and enjoy ourselves. He has saved us so that we may do His will. And His will is to do the work He has commanded us to do. And what is it? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do whatever Christ has commanded us to do. So, to do that work, we need the power of God. And one of the aspects of that power, one of that is the strength of the Lord, which comes from the joy of the Lord. And in order to glorify God, we need to have His joy. King David, when he spoke in his psalm of repentance, penitential psalm, Psalm 51, he was well aware of that. He was crushed. I mean, he had done wrong and wrong. He had committed adultery, and he had committed murder against Uriah the Hittite, and he was really broken before God, brokenhearted. But one of the things he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Then, what is happening then? Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. King David realized that he could not bring people to repentance unless he himself was filled with the joy of the Lord. Unless God had given him, and of course to me too, but given to him the joy which comes from God's salvation. And when that joy is there, then the power of God is exerted in us through His power that is at work within us. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine by His power that is at work within us. And how does this power exert or come? The joy of the Lord. Oh, more other things. The peace of the Lord also will bring people to wonder, what does He have? What does she have? What is so special? How do they have that peace? Well, that will touch the heart. Much more than if we go to people and say, do you know you are wrong? Do you know you have committed sin? Well, that needs to be said and done too. But the power which will bring people around to turn to God and to believe in Christ will be because of the presence of the joy of God in us. Second thing I want to emphasize is we have to rejoice in the works of the Lord. Sometimes we are tested, and the work of God in our lives can be painful, very painful. The author of Hebrews says that rejoice when you are being corrected, even if it hurts, because it will be for your good. We don't like to be hurt. We don't like to have to go through a painful trial, but that's what he says. But we ought to rejoice in the work of the Lord. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. The works of God, roughly, you can separate them into two parts. One is the works of creation and the providence which God gives in creation. And the other one is the work of redemption and the new creation which God is bringing about through Jesus and through the redemption of our Lord and Savior, through His death on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, His ascension, and His coming again soon to bring about His kingdom which will never end. But sometimes we have to struggle. In Psalm 73, the author says, "But when I thought how to understand this, that people who do wrong are powerful and they can do, it seems, what they want, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end." And this is what the psalmist here says about the righteous. "The righteous flourish like the palm tree," it's in verse 12 of our text, "and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God." This is the work of God among His people or through His people. And How do we grow strong? By being with each other in the courts of the Lord, by worshiping together, by praising together, by upholding each other, by praying for each other. This is where God brings forth His blessings. And this is how God prepares us and equips us to do His work in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world today wants to be self-sufficient. It wants to tell us that if you just trust the world, you will have perfect paradise here on earth through technology, through health science, through all forms of endeavors which man does. And what man does not realize is that except it be built by the Lord, except it come from the Lord, it will collapse and wither away. It will go down to nothing. And this is what we have to stand against. No, our final redemption, our redemption today and our goal is not in this world. And our meaning and purpose ultimately will not come from this world. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us that we may have life in Him. Paul said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." And how do we come to that? How do we prepare for that? And how do we live for that? It is by praising God and by rejoicing in His work. God did work, and that's to the glory and to the praise of God. And He gives us work to do, also to the praise and to the glory of God. God is creative, and He has given us creativity. God is just, and He has given us the responsibility to do just judgments in this world. God is expressing His glory through His works, and we, in His steps, in our steps, express the glory of God through our work. Paul said, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, all that we can think of, even today, even we, all of us together, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." That's from Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. And I want to come to the last point. Yes, the last point. And think about the future. I love that psalm. And you may want to put a little cross in your Bibles there by verses 14, the last two verses of the psalm. Because he talks about when we are old. Now you may think, "Oh, I have all the time. Oh, I'm young." Yeah, sure. But it comes. And it surely comes. And the time will come when we too, it has already come for me, when we will no longer be young. Well, I'm young, but not that young anymore. And where he says, "They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green." In the Lord, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, we do not die. The body will die, understand that, but we do not die because He gives us the grace to, even in old age, be full of sap and green, to declare that the Lord is upright and to make it our own. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. And therefore, He will transform us to become like Him. No unrighteousness. Oh, there is still unrighteousness today. The Lord will work so that in us we will become like Christ. We will be like Christ. The righteous by faith in Christ. Now remember, every time we say the word "the righteous," we have immediately to add in our mind, by faith in Christ. No one can say I'm right. Or if he does, he is deceiving himself. No one can say I have never sinned or I do not sin. Because if we do that, we lie. And that's what what the Apostle John says in 1 John. He says, if we say we have not sinned, or if we say we do not sin, we lie. But the righteous, by faith in Jesus Christ, okay, and now we can come back to it, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, yet yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither in all that he does. He prospers. Same thought as we have in Psalm 92 here. He prospers. He goes from doing to better doing. He goes from good to better. He prospers. And he rejoices in the Lord. And how does the Lord bring that into us? By the praise and the thanksgiving we bring to him. That's our hope. In a few moments, we will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again by eating the bread, which symbolizes the body of Christ, by drinking the cup, which symbolizes the blood of the new covenant. And through that, we proclaim that the Lord has come and that he's coming again. And that we look to him for the future. The future is the Lord's. And we enter into that future by his grace and through faith in Jesus. And so our hope is pure. And so our hope is true. It will never fail us. You know, put your hope into this world and you will see that people fail us. People turn the wrong way. You think you could trust them well for a time, and then you find out that this is not the way it was meant to be. But Jesus will never fail us. Jesus is faithful always and under all circumstances. And we have this promise that, which Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This is our hope. He will bring it to completion. We cannot do that. It's beyond our power. But he will do. Now, of course, we obey and we repent when we disobey, but he will bring it to completion. And this is his work from beginning to end, and to the praise and glory of our God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, which is true. Lord, we thank you for your grace, which is everlasting, and for your love, which never changes. Lord, we pray that you engrave your word in our hearts even today, that we may remember and do the good thing, which is to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, and to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, through him who gave his life for us, Jesus Christ. Amen.